in our situation, in our context, Thanksgiving pulls together different people. And sometimes Thanksgiving for you, it might be that you're seeing people that you haven't seen for the better part of a year. And it's kind of funny and trivial, but you get together and you just kind of know there'll be relational challenges and conflicts, and you have to bite your tongue or else World War III over the broth is going to happen. You know, so you don't want that is broth even a thing? I don't even know. But you don't want the war to break out over the salad bowl or the dressing or the spam, whatever it is in your house. But that happens because we kind of just get together with people that we don't really click with. And then some other things happen. Sometimes people, the last thing they remember you is back when you were 15, and you're like, hey, I'm not 15, I'm 50. Whatever it might be for you, it can cause some strain. Other times we have the people in our lives we just can't wait to see. You know, it's been a while and you just want to get home. But in every family, and at least in mine, I notice this every year for myself, I have an opportunity where I just kind of look around in the midst of all of the plates being passed and all the clanking of the dishes and everything. I can look around and I have this moment, and this moment is just of peace and serenity and gratitude, and I can genuinely just say, God, thank you. And while I would love to have that be the narrative of the hours and hours and hours that we're together, I would love that to be the narrative. What I've discovered in life is that I can actually live that way more often than I do. I can actually kind of calm down, because what happens is the bills are gone and the stress of my job is gone and all these other things settle down, and I can just take in the world in a thankful position. And so in the next few weeks, what I want to do is I want to train our hearts before we even get to a Thanksgiving day. I would love for the Christian in this room to be able to live a life of thanksgiving. And so with a play on words, we're going to be talking about thanksgiving over the next few weeks. How can I live with an attitude of gratitude? How can I live with my heart positioned towards heaven? How can I live a vertical life where I'm funneling everything that I'm dealing with horizontally through the kingdom of God first? And I can understand that everything that happens with me and to me in the horizontal plane has had to go through heaven first. So I can say, Lord, I thank you. Even in the Romans 8:28 says that God's going to work all things out for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Which means that when I'm going and living this horizontal life, I could appreciate and be thankful even when it's difficult, because God's going to work it all out. But I have to have that perspective going into the challenge. Because when we don't, we live like atheists. We live like we don't believe. We live like we don't belong to the kingdom of heaven. We live like we've got to fix it all. We live like all the stress is on us. And as a result, when we're not living with thanksgiving, then we end up just carrying weights and burdens and stresses that are not meant for us. We're meant for a different home. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we await a Savior. We eagerly await, the Bible says, we eagerly await a Savior from there. And so what that means is you and I have a choice every single day. I can either believe everything is physical, meaning that there is no spiritual thing at all, and all of this stuff, just the longing for generations and generations of people has just been feeble. Whatever country you fall into, whatever place, whenever there are new people discovered from the Western perspective, discovered, then whenever that happens, you come across these people and there are no atheist villages that you run among. Everybody is searching. Everybody is longing. Everybody believes. And I've had people look at me and say, well, see, doesn't that prove that your faith is weak? Doesn't that prove, everybody searches. I look back and I'm like, no, that's the most ridiculous argument you could ever pose to me. All that does is confirm for me that the scripture tells me that there is a yearning out of the man's heart that's crying out for God, that everybody's looking. Just because they put a different name, it doesn't mean that the looking is faulty. It just simply means they haven't met him yet. But I want everybody to meet him. And so you have two choices. I have two choices every single day. I can live as if everything is horizontal and we're all just a ball of snot that got zapped with lightning and we eventually got here and there is no meaning whatsoever to your life. Or I can apply meaning, because I can say, no. We are all created beings, and we're created by a God who loves us infinitely. We're created by a God who is unmatched in his passion and desire to get a hold of our human hearts. And so I'm simply responding in my faith. I'm not creating a religion. I'm responding to a God that's passionately pursuing me forever. And that's really our choices. And so if we get to the place to where we can say, okay, I'm going to believe. I believe there's something bigger. Well, then we have to ask ourselves, well, then how am I living? Am I living as though everything has to be horizontal and I've got to work it all out and it's all got to make sense to me? Or am I living that, no, there's a spiritual realm to everything that's going on? And that, in a large part, dictates whether or not I'm living with thanksgiving. You see, because living with thanksgiving, it presumes this idea that there is someone or something to whom outside of myself that I need to be inherently thankful to. But when I believe I carry all the weight, when I believe everything is horizontal, when I believe I've got to control it all, then all of my outcomes are either happenstance or I need to thank myself. And so what happens is we can't live with a real spirit of generosity and a real spirit of thanksgiving because there's no one to give thanks to except me. And so over these next few weeks, what I hope to show you is just how to posture yourself, how to position yourself to be able to live with thanksgiving, to have a life of thanksgiving, to acknowledge God in every area of life so that when we get to that table at the end of the month, we can just stop and say, wow, God, I can genuinely say thank you because I've built up a thanksgiving mindset. Colossians chapter 3, if you would go there. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole passage and then we'll go back and break it all down. Colossians chapter 3, actually I'm going to read up to verse 17. It says this, if then you have been raised with Christ, everybody say raised with Christ. Raised with Christ. If you've been raised with Christ, I mean, if this is your narrative of your life. Now, for some of you, you'd say, no, that's not my narrative. I don't believe in this stuff. And that's fine. This isn't talking to you. But if you've said, no, I trust Christ as Savior, then the Scripture says you've been raised with Christ. One thing I'll go ahead and tell you is which tense is that passage? If you have been raised with Christ. So what does that mean? That's past tense. That means it's done. It's sealed. Sign, seal, deliver. I'm yours. Right? This is why I don't sing. So, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died. This is the picture of baptism, that we die to ourselves and we're raised with Christ. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ. In God, when Christ, who is your life, so much preaching could go on right there. When Christ, who is your life, appears then, you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. You could spend the rest of your life on that one verse. Put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Like, this is the reason that we need to be saved. Is that we live in the flesh and we operate in the flesh and we manifest everything in the flesh. And so as a result, it's saying, listen, if you have been raised with Christ, don't operate anymore in that mode. So it says, put to death all these things. In these, you once walked when you were living in them. But now, everybody say, but now. But now, you must put them all away. Goes through a new list. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. We're getting a pretty good list here, huh? Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed. Everyone say renewed. Being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew. I could add black and white. There is no Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. Meaning you talk about equity You talk about equality. People run around right now believing these are new words. They're not new words. These are words that are at the foundation of who we are as Christians. Now, there's a lot of people in the name of Christ who have ignored those words, and for that, they're sinful, and for that, they have to repent and get back right with God. But they're not new. These concepts are not new. This idea of social justice is not new. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Look at this. What are you to put on? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness. This one's a hard one for me. Patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. By the way, who's the one that needs to forgive? It's the one who's been hurt. That's a tough one to process, but that's on you and me. You don't get that unless you got scars. But that's right up there with everything else we're supposed to put on. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Verse 15, we're going to narrow in on 15 to 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be what? Thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Thanks to God the Father through Him. I wanted to read the whole passage because sometimes we can just focus in on a coffee cup verse. That's what I call a verse that just is out of context, but it sounds cool. We can focus in on a coffee cup verse and we can miss the whole context. And I want you to understand the whole context of being thankful. If you just started out at verse 15 to 17 and took a bunch of verses that said thanks in them and built a sermon, you would miss the whole context. You would miss what everything is that leads into that and the posture with which you are becoming thankful. It goes all the way back to the beginning. And it says, listen, you have to know who you are before you apply these changes, before you are willing to live a thanks-living life. I'm going to give you 3 points today, and then there'll be some sub-points under, but you can go ahead and write the sermon down right now. Thanks-living comes from a decision, a dwelling, and a doing. Thanks-living comes from a decision, a dwelling, and a doing. A decision, a dwelling, and a doing. Where do I line up with thanks-living? Verse 15, it says this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule, a thanksgiving decision. Thanksgiving means living at peace with God and others. Living at peace with God and others. The word rule here is the same word that's used to talk about an Olympic official who's deciding an event. So the governing body over your life. So Colossians is saying, hey, you're tapped into a whole new life. If you are seated on the heavens with Christ, quit living for things that are below you. Live for things that are up above. And if you're living with things that are up above, then what you're going to do is you're going to allow the peace of God to rule over your hearts. What's interesting about that is how many of us would put peace and ruling together? Many of us, when we think of ruling, we think of dominance and we think of strength and we think of taking out all enemies. But the scripture says, you know what? You need to allow that peace of God to rule over everything else. What does that mean? That means I allow the peace of God to rule over that relationship that I'm in that's frustrating. I have to allow the peace of God to rule over my financial resources that I continue to stretch and stretch and stretch. I've got to allow the peace of God to rule over. Why am I making certain decisions? It's because I'm anxious for something else. And this isn't a due season, but I stretch myself. I push myself. And I need to allow the peace of God to settle in on my heart. I have to allow the peace of God to rule over every part of my life. So it's a decision that you make. It says, verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Peace has power to rule when your rule is to have peace. Peace has power to rule when your rule is to have peace. It's becoming a no-drama mama. It's becoming somebody that just says, I'm not going to allow myself to get worked up. I'm not going to allow. And you can say that as a decision ahead of time. You could say that before the semester starts and you're about to get a bunch of papers. You know it's going to be stressful. Why go crazy when it gets that way? You know things are going to be difficult. Many of you work in careers and professions. You know that there are going to be times when it gets crazy. Be the one in the room that everyone looks at and says, how are they so calm? Because you walked into the profession and you knew. You said, I'm going to let the peace of Christ rule my heart. I know it's going to get crazy. You go into a relationship. If you go into the relationship believing that you're going to dance through daisies every day, you are too immature to be in a relationship. Like, just stop it. For the sake of everybody around you and the person you're connected with, just stop. It's going to get nasty. It's going to get bumpy. Here's the deal. Sickness and people will say words and we'll misunderstand each other. These are sinful people coming together. We're not perfect people coming together. Oh, well, he's perfect. No, he's not. It's part of the reason when I do premarital, I'm always asking, I'm like, have you seen this person sick? Have you seen them under stress? Have you seen them when they had a catastrophe in their family? Have you seen this person at all? Have you picked this person up and spun them around and know what you're getting into? Why? Because there's no sense in just being shocked. Oh, he was never this way when he picked me up with roses 52 times. Well, that's not normal. Normal is waking up and you're smelling stinky breath. Like, that's normal. Right? Like that's normal. If she takes, I better stop. All right. Peace has power to rule when your rule is to have peace. It's a decision you make. Verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, and to which you indeed were called into one body, and be thankful. So here's the deal. Being thankful understands that, you know what? I'm allowing the peace of Christ to rule this situation. I'm thankful because I know on my own, I would go nuts. But I'm thankful that God's peace can rest over my home. I'm thankful that God's peace can rest over the relationship. I'm thankful that in the flesh, I would have come at you, but God worked it out. So I'm thankful because I made a decision in my heart to allow the peace of Christ to rule. And the way that Christ can rule is when I make a rule that I'm going to live in peace. But many of us, we haven't made that rule for ourselves. We give ourselves carve-outs and loopholes. We hate that in federal budgets, but we love it for ourselves. Like, for ourselves, we love carve-outs. What do I mean? Oh, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Like, I know normally I'm supposed to let the peace of Christ rule in my heart, but I wanted a right hook against his cheek, right? So you don't understand what he did to me? Let me go ahead and tell you what the carve-out was that allowed me to act this way, that allowed me to lose it, that allowed me to go, no, there's no carve-outs. Like, just let peace of Christ rule over you. Decide ahead of time to make peaceful choices. You see, right above that, verse 12, where's that peace come from? Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Above all, put on love. It's when you do verses 12 and 13 that you can live in verse 15. It's when you adopt those principles at 12 and 13 that you can live in 15. You can live, if you're meek, if you're compassionate, if you're kind, if you're prepared to forgive, like you start your day saying, I live around a bunch of sinful people. I'm probably going to have to forgive somebody today. I'm not going to be thrown off and shocked when somebody does something wrong. That's called normal. And so when I position myself to have peace, when I position myself to be compassionate, it allows me then to make a decision to live in peace as I go about my day. And for that, I could be thankful. Because I say, Lord, if I didn't have you, I'd be in prison. Because I'd have just went after that person. Like I needed you, Lord. So be thankful that God's peace passes all understanding. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And we don't like these words, right? Teach and admonish. None of us want to be taught or admonished. But we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us. And so that means get around other believers that are going to help us get there. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with what? With thankfulness in your heart towards God. So this is where we get thanks living is a dwelling. We have our decision. We have a dwelling. The Spirit of God, the Word of God needs to live in us. Thanksgiving means dwelling in and dwelling on the Word of Christ. Dwelling in and dwelling on the Word of Christ. Most of us spend our life listening to messages, thoughts, inputs, positions, angles from people who are not connected to your Savior. You are constantly listening to voices that are not listening to the voice of God. And you need to understand that as a Christ follower, remember the beginning of this whole passage in verse 1, if you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, if that's where your home is, then you need to be looking that way. Stop looking horizontal all the time. And you say, well, how do I let the Word of Christ dwell in me? How do I dwell in the Word? What it is that you make sure that your inputs match the desired output. You make sure that I'm listening to voices that are listening to God. I'm listening to the Scriptures. I'm listening to brothers and sisters who are walking with Jesus. And then they're going to build me up so that I too can walk with Jesus. But many of us, for no reason at all, you are flying solo because you choose to not dwell in the voice of God, to not dwell in the Word of God, to not dwell around other Christians who are encouraging. You choose, by your own choice, to dwell 100% around noises and voices and people that are disconnected from your Savior. And you're making that choice every day. But the Scripture says if you want to live a thankful life, then make sure your inputs are the Word of Christ. Make sure that you're listening and hearing and learning from the Word of God on a daily basis. You must allow the Word to dwell in you, and you must dwell in the Word. And it doesn't literally mean reading all day long, but it means making sure my inputs are right. When I was a teenager, and all of us probably were at this spot, but when I was a teenager, I never understood the value of the music I was putting into my ears. I didn't get it. And I'll be the first to admit it. And I was like, man, I'm just listening for the beats. Liar. Because what I'm listening to is I'm listening to somebody's just frustrated voice and perspective of the world over and over and over and over and over and over. And if I'm not watching that, if I don't have guardrails up, I'm going to begin to adopt that philosophy that I'm stuffing into my brain. But it's what our eyes are bringing in. It's what our ears are bringing in. It's, do I listen to gossip? Do I participate in it? Who am I around? Am I making sure that I have my life filled with the voice of God? So that when I'm in situations with a lot of people who do not know my God, I'm able to be that voice for them. Or am I so changed by the word of the flesh that when I get among people of the flesh, there is no discernible difference? What I talk about and feel is important is equal to, it's the same. What I believe is an aspiration for my life, it's the same as theirs. And so the Scriptures are calling us to dwell in the Word of Christ. Verse 17, and whatever you do, does that about cover it? And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, do it in His name. And so this is a doing, a thanksgiving, a thanks living doing. Thanksgiving means doing all we do in the name of Jesus. Thanks living means do we all we do in the name of Jesus. You see, this has to be a difference. If you and I want to live a thankful life, Not only do we need to dwell in Christ, but we need to do for Christ. We need to live as though Christ is living in us. In fact, the scripture says at the beginning of chapter 3 here, remember, it says that you and I are hidden in Christ. That my life, my identity becomes wrapped in Christ's identity. And so the way that I live is not simply Tolly Wilgus's opinion and attitude on everything. I've got to start to live as though Christ were living through Tolly. I've got to live as though if Christ were to pick up my life and walk through this flesh, how would he look? Now listen, I fall short. But the issue is that we need to give our life over to him and allow him to live and move and have his being in us. But many of us, we do not give God that permission. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. What is the contrapositive? What is the opposite of this scenario? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many whom I've often told you before, and now again I tell you with tears, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. How does that look, Pastor? What does that look like when people are walking contrary to the cause of Christ? Verse 19, their end, their outcome, their goal is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on what? Earthly things. And so if I'm to live a thanks living life, if I'm to live a thankful life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I need to live at a plane that's coming from the heavenly realms. I need to live and see things the way that God does. I need to go about in the name of Jesus and live as though Jesus is living in me. Because here's how I know whether or not I'm in Christ. I can look and just say, what is my end? What is the God? Who's God of this life? God is their belly means they used to believe, they didn't understand that the heart is the center or the brain. They believed that the gut, the belly was the beginning of all life. And so their God is their self. They're self-absorbed with whatever they can get in their belly. They're all about themselves. So their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with minds that are set on earthly things. Verse 20, but our citizenship is where? Is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So church, as we head into Thanksgiving, you don't have to head in blind. You don't have to head into the holiday season with your eyes closed. You don't have to just kind of feel around. You can actually make some decisions. You can actually make a dwelling in the Word of Christ. And you can live out a doing. If you want to have a thankful life, then I want to encourage you, make a decision for peace. Dwell on the Prince of Peace. And do in the name of peace. And it's when you do that, that you can walk in and say, you know what, Lord? I want to live thankful every day. Because if I'm thankful to someone outside of myself. The burden is not on me. The outcome is not on me. I don't have to fix people around me. I don't have to manipulate people around me. I can simply live out who you've called me to be and be thankful to you the entire time. And Father, I'll allow you to give me peace. I'll allow you, your word, to dwell over me and in me and through me. And I'll even live in and through you. I'm going to do everything in the name of Jesus. I want to do in the name of my Lord. And having that posture allows you to go back to that moment that many of us experience at least once at Thanksgiving, where the world is calm, and you're simply observing and taking in everyone around you and saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the simple. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for my life. Thank you for the people around me. Thank you for love. Thank you for hope. Thank you for all these things, Lord. Because it's in that moment that you've tapped into heaven for a minute. And you've said, Lord, I don't need to think in an earthly way. I need to funnel everything through you. I want to challenge you this month of November, as you head into holidays, to challenge yourself. Am I thinking horizontally or am I living vertically? And if you live vertically, you're able to thank God for everything, even the difficult days in Romans 8:28, knowing that, God, I don't feel good right now, but I trust that you're going to work it all out. And because I believe your word and I believe the outcomes are true, I can thank you even in the middle of the storm. So for each one of us, I pray to God that this month becomes a month where you say, Lord, teach me how to live thankfully. I want to live with thanks living. Let's pray.